What can we learn from Governor Felix? Why do we need to study the Word of God and we focus on Governor Felix? In this time, there are lots of groups who are against the government and probably some others wanting to be in the government, not knowing what awaits them if they are in the seat of the governance. And this morning our passage is very appropriate for us to study because it may inspire each one of us something that we may apply or something that we may learn from the lifestyle of Governor Felix. And for you who are hoping to be promoted in their career, that is something that you need to learn, because to be promoted, to be in the managerial position or higher offices, it is something that we can say it's governance that you need to understand why you need to be promoted. To have somebody as subordinate, you are the supervisor or somebody who is on the higher level of the in the office, you need to govern. And learning from our passage this morning could be something that you may apply in your life. The passage that we have, we need to learn how God would communicate to us even through this, as Brother Dave said, timeless Word of God. It is indeed, because it was written 1,000 years ago and still we are studying it. In the Old Testament, the Lord communicated His message to individuals in their dreams and through prophets. And prophets were God's messengers. And in our generation, God's messengers are called preachers. Can you accept that the Lord Almighty communicate to individuals through preachers? Can you accept that? How did you personally heard when God spoke to you? Or have you ever heard when God speak to you personally? How can you discern? How do you know if God is speaking through preacher or not? How do you know when God is speaking through Bible study leaders and the school teachers or not? How do you know if God is speaking even through ordinary Christian or ordinary church member or not? How do we know if God speaks through our prayers? How do you know? How do you know or determine if a person has been inspired to tell God's message? How do you know? Anyone can claim to have been called by God. Anyone can easily deceive anybody with flattering words. It is very necessary for each of us, each believer, to know if God is speaking through a speaker, through His messenger, or not. We are advised in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. Let's read this meditatively. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the tests. And I trust that you will consider that we have not failed the test. That is also my prayer, that each person who would join us in this sanctuary would not fail the test, that each one would be very assured of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, by faith we received His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Christ enables us to discern His voice clearly and know His will. Now, if you, at this point in time, are still in doubt if you have the Holy Spirit of Christ, say a simple prayer. Be sincere. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Savior, my Savior. I don't understand everything, but I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just say that prayer very sincerely. Don't worry about what you do not know just yet. The Lord will enable you to understand in His right time. The Lord would not let you understand everything at once. He would only give you understanding as you would need it. Now, the Church of Corinth has been very problematic. There was, according to scholars, they suggest that there were factions. There were division that divided the Corinthian believers. There were followers of Paul. There were followers of loyal to Peter, and there were those who were following Apollos. Apollos was a very good speaker, eloquent speaker. Apostle Paul was very boring, accordingly. He may not have that enthusiasm very much, but when he speaks the word of God. And Peter was a very enthusiastic speaker. And Paul, Apostle Paul, implied that if the Corinthians did not have Christ in them, if they haven't received the Spirit of Christ in them, they cannot discern if Christ was really speaking through him. And many times, we resist. When we are resisting the Word of God, the human nature is at work in us. But praise God for that, because you were resisting. Meaning, the Word of God is trying to shake you and help you understand His message to you. So what do we need to do when there's this resistance in our heart? Ask the Lord, Lord, I don't know why I sense this. I don't like the message that your messenger is saying, but I pray, O Lord, to fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Ask until you sense that willingness, you sense that peace, that joy of listening, even if it hurts, the pride. So if Christ is absent in us, if Christ is set aside, if you have the Spirit of Christ in your life, but He is set aside or ignored, the believer who ignores the Holy Spirit cannot discern the voice of Christ or the will of God. So whenever you say, why is it that I just cannot sense that God is speaking? I know of a friend many years ago when he was younger. He was very enthusiastic in the ministry, involved in the ministry. But life overtakes him. The requirements of life, when he had family, started slowing down in his Christian life. And then he asked me, why is it, Pastor, that whenever I come to church, it seems like I cannot hear the voice of God? I don't know. Perhaps for a long time, you ignored the Holy Spirit. And when you continue to ignore the Holy Spirit, the heart becomes callous. Magkakaroon ng kalyo. Ano yung kalyo? Callous, right? It becomes sterilized. And you cannot feel, you cannot sense when the Holy Spirit speaks. Of course, everyone can underestimate, everyone can overestimate anything. And when we are not sure of God's will, we can be indecisive of our mission purposes in life. So if you are indecisive still, ask the Lord, Lord, help me have firm decision, strong decision in this if it is your will. Truly, anyone can have share of indecisiveness. This is why we are very limited and we need the Lord for us to have that firm decision. Let's look at the life of Governor Felix. In verse 22 and 23 it says, then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friend to take care of his need. Now, as background from this, Apostle Paul was charged of making trouble in Jerusalem, and he was sent by Commander Lysias to Caesarea, where Governor Felix reside, and Governor Felix serve as judge and decide if Apostle Paul is worthy to be charged or imprisoned. And Governor Felix listened to the case presented to him against Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul presented his defense, and he continued with the presumption that his accusers have indicted him or charged him because he was preaching about the resurrection. Some members of the Sanhedrin, especially the Sadducees, did not believe about resurrection or eternal life or even angels. And Governor Felix, in this situation, he displayed his indecisiveness. And that is something very terrible for anyone in the position. If our government is indecisive, they will say, on Monday we'll have this vaccination. No. I think we need to accommodate those who do not want to be vaccinated, and we don't know what to follow if our government is indecisive. So we need to pray. We need to pray for godly wisdom for our government. Even if you are not in the same political party, even if you don't like the government, you need to pray. You cannot do anything to change that because they are the government. So what we do, we pray. When the government decide on things betterly, it is for our betterment as citizens. Right? It is for our sake that the government would decide firmly. The narrative reveals that Governor Felix never made a decision to acquit or to convict Apostle Paul. He did not make a decision. Felix wanted to listen personally from Commander Lysias, the commander in Jerusalem, who sent Apostle Paul to Caesarea. Perhaps it was not known if Lysias came or invited to Caesarea, but 2 years later, 2 years after that conversation, Felix was relieved from his position as governor. There was new governor. And he did not make any decision to release or to punish Apostle Paul. 2 years of not deciding, and we observe that in the government. And we are frustrated because the judges would not decide until the person died and no decision just yet. And that's tough, right? How many cases have been shelved waiting for decision? This is why we also need to pray for the judiciary or the legislative. May a legislator make some kind of law that if a case this kind of case is not decided within this month, within this span of time, that judge should be accountable, something like that. How about that? The judge can just wait. Some judges would maybe waiting for the time that they may judge. I don't know the process too. I don't know among you if you know how it works in the judiciary. But we need to pray. Even if the police are very busy gathering or enforcing the law, and then when it comes to the judiciary, if they are indecisive, that is very tough for them. In some other stories out there on the other side of the border, the police would catch those troublemaker, and then before they are able to write down whatever charge that person had done, the person had been released. How is that? You, as police enforcer, you are very eager to enforce the law, and yet when you catch the troublemaker, that person would just laugh at you because that person is released without no charge. How about that? Again, it's one thing. Another point where we should also pray for law enforcers, judiciary, not just the government. I pray that you would join us praying regularly, at least once a week. That would be regular. It would be great. Or whenever you feel like you are complaining against the government, against police officers, against judiciary, you pray that God would give them godly wisdom. Interestingly, it was considerate for Governor Felix to allow the friends of Apostle Paul to visit him, provide for his personal need, and Paul was heavily guarded, though, and keeping Paul in prison is something, a safety measure that God might have decided in some practical ways. Now, think about this. To be accused like Paul, where the oppositions are plotting something that they would like to kill him, it would be better for him to be locked in prison with guards than to be outside with no guards at all, where opposition can scheme to harm him. I was reading a news about a young person. He was charged about killing somebody in a riot, and then his attorney allowed him to be in prison. Although this young person was acquitted of any crime. But people would say, why did your lawyer allow you to be in prison when you were acquitted of your crime, of the crime charged against you? Well, the lawyer said, there are a lot of people who are trying to hurt this person, this young person, and to be locked up in prison, to be in jail, it would be safer for him. That was his defense. And I guess there's some kind of good points there. Anyway, to be in prison with no reasonable reason can be very difficult. If you are imprisoned with no charge, like for example, if we are gathering here and we are more than 25 and the law enforcers would come and ask each of us, do you require your church to be vaccinated? And we did not announce anything like that. No, therefore you are lawbreaker. And we think we are doing what is right, and yet they gather us and imprison us. How about that? That's tough, right? Have you ever asked God why he allows troubles, he allows suffering, or difficulties, or great concerns that would come to life. Why did you allow this, Lord? You know that you've been very faithful Christian, and yet God allowed you to have a lot of concerns in life. You did what is right before the Lord, the thing that is right, and yet God allowed you to have that problem, difficult problem. God let you endure things that people would consider as punishment. Perhaps God is punishing you. People would accuse you of that. And you may even blame difficulties yourself. I think this difficulty, this struggle, has something to do with my disobedience. You might be thinking about that. This blame game, blaming something for anything that is unpleasant to us, is Bible old style. To bring down, to undermine, to belittle, to criticize, or find fault from others. Just not accepting that reality that God would allow fair weather, stormy weather, and all that we experience. And we cannot do anything. A righteous man named Job, the Bible, was tested by the Lord. And as a result, his friends presumed that Job was sinful. His friend Eliphaz said in Job chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God, they perish. At the blast of his anger, they are no more." And another friend, so far, he said in Job 11, 13 to 15, "Yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hand to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then free of fault, you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear." Now, that is how other people would think of you when you have some kind of difficult problem. If Job, the most righteous person in his generation, has been accused by his friends. Who accused Job? His friends. And that's what you experience. That's what we experience. Our friends, our relatives would accuse us of anything just to put us down, undermine, criticize, belittle, find fault, frown us. Like the friends of Job, many Christians assume that suffering, difficulties, struggles are results of sin. Do you think of that? When you struggle, "Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? What I've done? Why would a loving God allow us to endure sufferings? Why he would allow us to have difficulties, physical difficulties, family concerns, trials? Why?" Well, have you ever thought that you deserve better life like anyone else? "I deserve better." Have you said that statement before? "Oh, this is not for me. I deserve better." Something like that. Have you thought of that? We heard that many times in the movies or in the news or somewhere. Think of this. The Son of God, Christ Jesus himself, he asked his Father 3 times to spare him from the agony of crucifixion. That is humanity. We are not very prepared when unpleasant situation surprise us. Apostle Paul, he pleaded with God to remove the thorn of in his flesh 3 times. 3 times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 10, let's read this. testimony of Apostle Paul. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So if you complain before the Lord understands. The Lord understands that. Apostle Paul said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Now, don't try to force that issue, all right? I need to delight in insult. I need to delight in weakness. No. Pray. Pray that God would overflow his grace in your life. When God's grace is sufficient in your life, you would sense that delight, that joy or gladness in weakness. It's not because, yay, nabunggo ako. It's not something like that. But when you have an accident, something like that, okay, maybe God wants me a new car. You look like you want to see that way. Or an insult. They insult you that, oh, you haven't comb your hair yet, or something, anything. I cannot think of any worse of that than that. In hardship, kind of like, oh, it's you need to wake up early in the morning because you need to be at work. Persecution at work. Your boss is so mean. In difficulties. It's hard to solve problem for you, students. But praise God, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. If you sense that, then you know that the grace of God is at work in your life. But if you haven't sensed that yet, don't just try to say, when I'm weak, I'm strong, just to comfort yourself. No, don't try that. That's not what Paul was saying. He was saying, the grace of God is sufficient. If grace of God is sufficient in us, we sense that. So when you cannot sense that yet, then ask the Lord, Lord, let your grace overflow in my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Keep praying until you sense it. Practically, Apostle Paul's life, the life of Apostle Paul, was an exhibit of God's grace. God allowed him to experience a lot of trouble, imprisonment, persecution, shipwreck, in danger in the field, in danger in the sea, in danger with Jewish people or Gentile people. Those kinds of trouble that he had were, God allowed it to happen because the Lord wants his life an example, practical example, that God's grace is sufficient if we claim it by faith. Paul said that God allowed him to be tormented to keep him from becoming conceited. Now, that is something that come to mind some time ago. Maybe some of you are not yet allowed to prosper just yet. Why is it that I do everything and I don't prosper? Maybe when you prosper, you become conceited, or you keep exalting yourself, or you become proud, or you become boastful, or you forget the Lord. You want to be on the go all the time and forget the Lord. Maybe God allow your situation to keep you from becoming conceited. Think of that, consider that, pray about that. So pray that when you prosper, all the more you would be thankful, all the more that you would be worshipful of the Lord, to praise Him and obey Him all the days of your life. All the more you would become obedient to His will. Good or bad situation, there are series of events that God had already prepared, He has arranged to help us grow in our faith in Him and to experience more of the sufficiency of His grace. Can you believe that? So think of your trouble, your concern, your difficulties, your struggle as God's means of helping you to experience more of His grace. Whatever situation you are in now. In our passage, Governor Felix had that power to decide whether to convict, to imprison Apostle Paul, or to release him, but he was indecisive. He cannot decide if he would ignore the message of Paul about the resurrection, about the Lord. He cannot decide if he believed the message about Christ. He just desired, his desire was some kind of convenience. And that is what we want most of the time, convenience. Convenience, actually, can hinder spiritual growth of many. If they are very convenient in your life, then sometimes, most of the time, you may forget the Lord. If it is convenient, maybe you are out there somewhere. There was this show. Commentator in the show, and he said, why is it that places where there's good weather, like the Philippines, where there's no extreme coldness or extreme hotness, or anywhere in Asia, why is it that in those places where there's no extremities of weather, they are not very rich? They are not developed. Here in Canada, for example, there's extremities. Extreme cold. Observe that. Or extreme hotness, like in the desert, in the Middle East. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe because people are so convenient that they forget the Lord. I don't know if there's connection on with that, but you can think of that. Convenience may hinder the spiritual growth of many, including church leaders or ordinary churchgoers. On the contrary, inconvenience are also instrumental for God to redirect us, detour us to the path He wants us to take, path of righteousness, for His name's sake. What does King David said in Psalm 23? That is something that you would like to recite or consider. He leads me beside a quiet water, He restores my soul, and He guides me in paths of righteousness. So there, when there's inconvenience, it could be that the Lord redirecting us to a path of righteousness. Like, for example, when during summer or any time of the year, when construction season comes in Winnipeg, you are redirected in your path, and you don't like that because it's inconvenience. You are late to your appointment. And yet you do not like to pass through that path of construction because it becomes worse. You would rather follow the detour path, right? Similar in our spiritual life, the Lord would detour us, redirect us, even when it is inconvenient. Let's read again verse 24 to 27. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. So Felix did not make decision whether to punish Paul or to release him. And did Felix want to grant favor to the Jews because his wife Drusilla was Jewish? Why was the name of Drusilla as Jewish mentioned? According to historians, this is not in the Bible, but Drusilla, accordingly, was a great-granddaughter of Herod, great-granddaughter of Herod the Great. Drusilla had no Jewish blood, but she was converted to Jewish religion when her first husband was King Assis. King Assis had no Jewish blood, but he also became Jew. And why? How did Drusilla become wife of Felix? Felix, when he became governor, he abducted Drusilla and became his wife. You know, Drusilla's curiosity of Jewish belief might have prompted her to ask Felix to have Paul talk about his faith in Christ. Now that is something. It might be that God also caused that situation for Felix to have opportunity to listen to the gospel of Christ, an opportunity for him to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior, but he was indecisive. History tells us that giving or receiving bribe had been politically practiced in the past, in the Bible, and even in this generation. And Felix expected Paul to bribe him. He was not interested about faith. He was interested in the bribe. He was concerned about bribes. Perhaps Felix received bribes from the religious leaders in Israel. That was why he wanted to grant favor to the Jews, it says, because he already received bribe from the Sanhedrin. Felix said that he will listen again to Paul if he find it convenient for him. He was waiting for convenience to listen to Paul, but it was inconvenient for him when Apostle Paul talked about righteousness, about judgment, about the Lord. Like Felix, even Christians seek for their convenient time to worship God. They want to worship God in their own time, not in the time that the church assigned us time to worship together. I want to worship God when I am awake. To practice our faith in God consistently in the midst of challenges, in the midst of difficulties, in those trials, struggles, it should prove that God's grace in our life is sufficient. We can identify what Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 3-10, that even in our situation, that amidst of pandemic, we want to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. Let's read this together. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecution and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God, do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believe our testimony to you. The background of the Thessalonian church is that when Paul and his mission team came in the city of Thessalonica, the Jewish community, Jewish people in Thessalonica were very jealous that Paul was becoming popular. And so they brought together scoundrels, they brought together thugs, they paid those who are rallying, maybe. They're those people who are just waiting for something, hanging out in the marketplace at the time, and started a riot. They searched for Paul, searched for Silas in the house of a believer named Jason. And when they cannot find Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some other believers and charged them before the city officials. They shouted that Jason and other believers were causing troubles all over the world. But Apostle Paul and his left Thessalonica and proceeded to the next city, Berea. There's similar situation that we can observe among churches these days. Group of people accused preachers, disillusioned churchgoers. They tell other churchgoers that their pastors are provoking troubles by their sermons. Have you experienced that here? Praise God if you are accused of wrongdoing. Praise God. You know that you did what's right and yet you are accused. Praise God. When all you have in mind is to serve the Lord and still you are accused of wrongdoing, praise God. Praise God because you are counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Praise God when relatives, praise God when friends hate you because you prioritize your relationship with God. Praise God that you keep on trusting Christ. When he comes, the Lord will bring your reward, your reward, your reward, your reward for obeying him, worshiping him, even in the midst of pandemic. Shall we stand up and pray? And thanks him for he keep us healthy and safe amidst of pandemic.